بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Now what about if the awra is انكشفت في الصلاة؟ The awra if it is exposed in the صلاة. Of course the awra is into what? Different levels. Is the thigh like the private parts, the two private parts for a man? Of course not. The thigh is a awra. The woman, is her awra all the same? No. Is the private part of the woman like the hair? No. Is the hair like, for example, a little bit above the hand? Of course not. The awra is into levels. This is clear? Now, the first point that if a man or a woman in the salat expose the awra intentionally, regardless whether it is small or a lot, the salat becomes void. You have to understand, exposing the awra has two things. The length, how long the awra was exposed, and how much of the awra is exposed. If it is intentionally, regardless of the length of time and regardless what you show from the awra. Yani, if you're in salat and you intentionally lift your shorts up where the thigh have showed, you intended that, then your salat becomes void. As for the one who forgetfully, unintentionally, he exposed his awra, if it was yasir, only a bit, does not nullify the salat. Meaning, let's just say a woman, she is praying, and she's raised her hand to say Allahu Akbar, and the hijab slipped a little bit, and bit of her hair showed, she can correct it, and continue her salat. Let's say you were wearing the izar, under a short, that short is little bit above the knee. You drop the izar, and then you picked it up again, and you tied it again. That does not nullify your salat. If, for example, some brother wearing pants, and then he made ruku' below the navel showed from the backside, not all the way, just below, and he pulled it back up, that does not nullify the salat. Also, if it is unintentionally, but you showed an extreme awra, let's say you're praying, you're wearing ihram, your lower part of the ihram dropped. Quickly you caught it and you tied it up. The izar part, the lower part dropped. طيب. Now an extreme awra showed in your salat. Is your salat void? The ulama onto two opinion. The first opinion says yes, his salat is void. The second opinion said it is not void. طيب, what is the correct? The correct dalil, the correct that comes according the dalil that does not nullify the salat. Here we have the hadith of Amr ibn Salama radiyallahu anhu. He said, فَكُنْتُ أَأُمُّهُمْ, يعني I was leading the people in the salat. وَعَلَيَّ بُرْدَةٌ مَفْتُوقَةٌ. عَلَيَّ بُرْدَةٌ, cover, it has a rip in it. فَكُنْتُ إِذَا سَجَدْتُ تَقَلَّسَتْ عَنِّي. When I prostrate, تَقَلَّسَتْ mean it shrinks off me. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, another narration, which is the narration of Bukhari and Abu Dawood and Nasa'i. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ خَرَجَتْ أَسْتِي. In another narration, my behind appears. My back extreme awra appears. He said, فَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّنَ الْحَيِّ, a woman from the street, said, أَلَا غَطُّ عَنَّا إِسْتَقَارِئِكُمْ, why don't you cover the ist of your reciter, the qari'. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said in the Mughni, and I will read to you what he said rahimahullah, وَلَنَا مَا رَوَى أَبُو دَاوُودِ بِإِسْنَادِهِ عَنْ أَيُّوبِ عَنْ عَمْرُ بْنِ سَلَمَ قَالَ انْطَلَقَ أَبِي وَافِدًا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفَرٍ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ فَعَلَّمَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَقَالَ يَأُمُّكُمْ أَقْرَأُكُمْ. Here he said, and to us, yani he's proving his opinion, he said that what is being narrated from Abu Dawood through the isnad, the sanad of the chain of Ayyub from Amr ibn Salama, he said,
Amr ibn Salama said, my father, he went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a delegation with a group of people where he taught them the salat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقال يا أمكم أقرأكم. The best one in recitation, he is the one who leads you. Shuf, he was young. He said, فَكُنْتُ أَقْرَأُهُمْ. And I was the best one in qira'ah from amongst them. فَقَدَّمُونِي فَكُنْتُ أَأُمُّهُمْ وَعَلَيَّ بُرْدَةٌ وَعَلَيَّ بُرْدَةٌ لِيَ صَفْرَاءَ صَغِيرَةٌ. He said, I used to lead them and I had a burda for me, yellow, small one. وَكُنْتُ إِذَا سَجَدْتُمْ كَشَفَتْ عَنِّي. And when I used to bank sujood, it used to appear. In kashafat, yani, burda used to shrink. In kashafat, and it shows my awra. فَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And a woman from the women, وَارُوا عَنَّا عَوْرَةَ قَارِئِكُمْ. Why don't you cover the awra of your qari? And I already recited to you the other narration. فَاشْتَرَوْا لِي قَمِيسًا عُمَّانِيًا. فَمَا فَرِحْتُ بِشَيْءٍ بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَرَحِي بِهِ. He said, they bought me a qamis, عُمَّانِيًا. It was the happiest thing to me after I become a Muslim. Here he narrated the second narration. He said, وَرَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وَالنَّسَائِ أَيْضًا عَنْ عَاصِمِ الْأَحْوَلِ عَنْ عَمْرُ بْنِ سَلَمَةَ قَالَ فَكُنْتُ أُمُّهُمْ فِي بُرْدَةٍ مَوْصُولَةٍ فِيهَا فَتْقٌ. He said, I used to lead them, this is another narration, in a burda mawsula, a burda that is connected, yani two pieces and connected in between the pieces. فيها فتق, there is a fatq, a rip in it. فكنت إذا سجدت فيها خرجت أستي. And when I used to prostrate, my backside, yani, used to show. وهذا, pay attention how the dalil of Ibn Qudama رحمه الله, how he debated the dalil. He said, وَهَذَا يَنْتَشِرُ وَلَمْ يُنْكَرْ وَلَا بَلَغَنَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْكَرَهُ. وَهَذَا انْتَشَرْ, يعني it became apparent amongst the community of the believers. And we haven't received any narration that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم disliked it or said anything about it. You see, this is actually a dalil. انتشار الشيء في عهد الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. Something to become known in the days of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that it was happening regularly and the Quran said nothing. شوف how also the companions, this is how you, the ulama derived the dalil. The companions also taught us this dalil. The companions said, كنا نعزل والقرآن ينزل. We used to do azl. What is azl? To withhold yourself from ejaculation inside the woman while the Quran is descending. If the azl was haram, then the Quran would have sent it down. The point that sometimes this is a dalil. And this is one of the way of proving an issue. And he said, وَلِأَنَّ مَا صَحَّتِ الصَّلَاةُ مَعْ كَثِيرِهِ حَالَ الْعُذْرِ فرق بين قليله وكثيره في غير حال العذر كالمشي ولأن الاحتراز عن من اليسير يشق فعفي عنه كيسير الدم. Here he said, ولأن ما صحت الصلاة مع كثيره حال العذر فرق بين قليله وكثيره في غير حال العذر. He said, and whatever makes the salat correct with a lot of it at the time of excuse, we distinguish between a small amount and lot of it in the time with no excuse. So he's saying, if it is big amount and there is no excuse, no udhur, it nullifies the salat. He said, في غير حال العذر كالمشي, like walking in the salat. Walking in the salat, if there is an excuse, then it is accepted. And if there is no excuse, then it is not accepted. We differentiate. All right? وَلِأَنَّ الْإِحْتِرَازَ مِنَ الْيَسِيرِ يَشُقُّ فَعُفِيَ عَنْهُ كَيَسِيرِ الدَّمِ. And to al-ihtiraz, to keep away from a small amount, al-yasir, it becomes hard. Like yasir al-dam, small amount of blood.
What does it mean? That means to make sure that you do not have a small amount of blood on your clothing, it's very hard. And he's saying that the yasir is overlooked. That's why the yasir of showing the awra, it's overlooked. Because it's very hard sometimes to control that. And that's why, for example, we said, if you're doing the salat and the awra, the pants dropped a little bit and the awra showed a little bit, because you cannot help it at times and you fixed it and correct it, it does not nullify the salat. It's exactly when al-yasir in the blood comes on your clothing. Yani to try to avoid that, it'll become very hard in the salat. So that is his dalil, rahimahullah. What is considered as too much and what is considered as a little bit. Here he said, إِذَا ثَبَتَ هَذَا, if this asl being affirmed and understood, إِذَا ثَبَتَ هَذَا فَإِنَّ حَدَّ الْكَثِيرِ مَا فَحُشَ فِي النَّظَرِ. Here he said, فَإِنَّ حَدَّ الْكَثِيرِ مَا فَحُشَ فِي النَّظَرِ. The limit of so much, يعني whatever in our nazar we see it as, now it's too much awra showing, then خلاص it is considered as too much awra showing. وَالْمَرْجِعُ فِي ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْعَادَةِ. وَالْمَرْجِعُ فِي ذَلِكَ, and we go back in this to what? To the habit and the aada. Whatever we believe as the community of the believers, that this is too much awra, then it becomes too much awra in one time. And here he said, وَلَنَا أَنَّ هَذَا شَيْءٌ لَمْ يَرِدِ الشَّرْعُ بِتَقْدِيرِهِ فَرُجِعَ فِيهِ إِلَى الْعُرْفِ كَالْكَثِيرِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. طيب, he said, and to us that this issue, I'm skipping a little bit. So, you know, amanat al-ilm, I'm telling you that I am skipping a few lines, which is, otherwise I'll be too much prolonging it. He said here, and to us, this issue, there is nothing in the shara' to say whatever is too much awra and too small awra and too long awra, يعني too long, I mean too long in time and too short in time. He said, لم يرد الشرع في تقدير هذا. There is nothing in the shari'a to say what is too much and what is too small in appearing in the salat. فَرُجِعَ فِيهِ إِلَى الْعُرْفِ. We have to go to our custom. كَالْكَثِيرِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Same thing, to know what are the lot of movements in the salat that nullifies the salat. So as a result, the bottom line in all this, when al-awra shows for a long time that we consider as a considerable amount of time, then the salat becomes void. And whatever we, the community of the believers, see by custom that he showed too much awra, then we say then he showed too much awra and he has to cover it very quickly. If he leaves it for a very long time, then we consider that as nullifying the salat, as one of the issues that made the salat void. The fourth point, if he exposes the awra, an extreme awra, and the time was long. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, إِذَا انْكَشَفَ عَنْ غَيْرِ عَمَدٍ إِنْكِشَافًا فَاحِشًا وَطَالَ الزَّمَنْ بِأَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ إِلَّا فِي آخِرِ صَلَاتِهِ أَوْ بَعْدَ سَلَامِهِ فَهَذَا لَا تَصِحُّ صَلَاتُهُ لِأَنَّهُ فَاحِشٌ وَالزَّمَنُ طَوِيلٌ. He said about the fourth point, that if his awra appeared with no intention, إِنْكِشَافًا فَاحِشًا, meaning al-fahish in an extreme way, in an extreme way. So if the awra appears in an extreme way, وَطَالَ الزَّمَنِ, and the time becomes long, until that he did not know until the end of his salat, or after his taslim, فَهَذَا لَا تَصُحُّ صَلَاتُهُ, this person, his salat is incorrect. يعني his salat is void. Why? Because it is fahish, I mean the awra, extreme awra appeared, and for a very long time. Tayyib, is this issue understood? Mafhum? We continue what the Imam says, rahimahullah. وَمَنْ صَلَّى فِي ثَوْبٍ مَغْصُوبٍ أَوْ دَارٍ مَغْصُوبَةٍ لَمْ تَصُحَّ صَلَاتُهُ. Whoever prays in a garment maghsoob, taken by force, or in a house, land maghsoob, the prayer is not accepted. What does it mean? If someone steals a t-shirt, steals a pants, he steals a pants from a shop, a thawb from a shop, he take a house by force, meaning as was common in Lebanon, al-istihlal. What is al-istihlal? A group of people, they break down a house, a unit, which is empty. Yani it has an owner, but the owner not living in it, and they move into it, and they live in it. The squatters, when they take over a house. إِذَنْ هَذِهِ دَارٌ مَخْصُوبَةٌ أَرْضٌ مَخْصُوبَةٌ Land that is مَخْصُوب, or a thawb that is مَخْصُوب. Is the salat in that land, in that house, or in that thawb, is accepted or void? The majority of the ulama, they said the salat is correct and it is not void. The opinion according to the Hanabila, the known opinion according to the Hanabila, is void. Why is that? Before I tell you, you have to understand that this issue is min mufradat al-Hanabila. What is mufradat al-Hanabila? Odd opinion the Hanabila have. There are ulum in fiqh, books written, mufradat al-Hanabila. Inside the madhab of the Hanabila, there are opinions that the only ones who adopted are the Hanabila, and this is one of them. Of course, there are books to say Mufradat al-Shafi'iyyah and so on. The Hanabila, they are the only people who said this. Now, is this correct? Jumhur al-Ulama says this is incorrect, including Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. But the person who is doing it is sinning. Why? We have something called in the Sharia, infikak al-jiha. What is infikak al-jiha? Al-hukm al-shar'i, the ruling in the Sharia, is constructed of many elements. Sometimes those elements do not go back on the act itself, and sometimes it goes back on the act itself. Take an example. Let's say you made a wudu with water that is najisa. You stood up for the salat. The wudu is void and the salat is void. The salat is void not because the water is najisa. It is because the wudu itself is void. You understand? Now, wearing a thawb, the direct hukum of wearing a thawb in the salat to cover the awrah. The awrah now is what? Covered. So the direct ruling here goes straight back to the salat, like the wudu. If the wudu is correct, then the salat is correct. If the awrah is covered, then the salat is correct. But wearing a thawb that is makhsoob, a stolen thawb, then that goes back on the thawb itself. It does not go back on the salat itself. The thawb itself, you're sinning by wearing it, but the salat is correct.
Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said to the meaning, أن العمل إن حصل مع محظور لا يضاد بعض أجزائه صح كما في هذه المسألة.
If the act is performed with something that is محظور, that is not allowed, if that something that is not allowed does not go against some of the matters directly related to the act, then the act is correct. To explain, that means if you stole water and made wudu, then the wudu is correct. Let's say you prayed. Now, your prayer is correct because why? Your wudu is correct. But you're sinning for stealing water. Because you made wudu with what water? With what pure water? Now, let's say you made wudu with najas water and you prayed. Now, the condition of the wudu is to be done with what? Pure water. You made it with najas water, the wudu itself is incorrect. And both mahvur, as you see, stealing the water is not allowed, and making wudu is najas water. But you see, you said in the second one, making wudu. So you're making the wudu. You see? And the first one, you're making the wudu with what? With stolen water, but it is pure. Because what relates to the wudu? The purity of the water, not whether the water is stolen or not. Understand it that way. And here he said, كَمَا فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, as in this issue. أَمَّا إِن كَانَ يُضَادُ بَعْضَ أَجَزَائِهِ فَلَا يَصُحْ, as if it goes against part of its components, it is not correct. What is component? Meaning the components that makes the salat correct. It does not go, يعني wearing a stolen thawb, it does not go against the components of the salat. What goes according to the components of the salat is to cover the awrah with the thawb. Because there is an order to cover the awrah. You met that order. And here he said, كَمَا فِي الْبَيْعِ بَعْدَ نِدَاءِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْهِيٌّ عَنْهُ بِعَيْنِهِ. Pay attention. As for the bay' after the call of the Jum'ah, the second call of the Jum'ah, when the imam ascends the minbar, this is the prohibition is, in itself, there is an order about it. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. You who have believed, if the call for the Salat al-Jum'ah is proclaimed, hey, rush to the Salat ila dhikri Allah, wadharu al-bay'ah. The order here is to abandon the bay'ah. That's why the ulama, they said, if you do transactions once the Salat al-Jum'ah is happening, the contract is void. Why? Because the order comes bi'aynihi. Do you want me to go further in this? Because this goes back to a golden rule in fiqh. You want to go into the complexions of the golden rules, or we just move on? Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said in Taqrir al-Qawa'id wa Tahrir al-Fawa'id, a great book in the maxims of fiqh, or the golden rules of fiqh. He said, al-Qa'idah al-Tasi'ah, the ninth principle, or the ninth golden rule, في العبادات الواقعة على وجه محرم. إن كانت تحريم عائدا إلى ذات العبادة على وجه يختص بها لم يصح. Pay attention. Here he said about the worship, the acts of worship that are performed in a forbidden way. If the tahrim, the prohibition, goes back on the ibadah itself, then the ibadah is not correct. يعني here he said, على وجه يختص بها, in a way that is specifically to it, it becomes void. يعني if there is a tahrim about this ibadah in a way that goes back to it, it becomes incorrect. How is that? منها صوم يوم العيد, fasting on the day of Eid. It's good. We just complete this today. We'll talk about this rule, golden rule today. What does it mean? Pay attention. Here he said, صَوْمُ يَوْمِ الْعِيدِ فَلَا يَصِحُّ بِحَالٍ عَلَى الْمَذْهَبِ. It's not allowed at all according to the Hanbali madhab. What does it mean? For example, the prohibition here, fasting on the day of Eid, the prohibition goes back on the ibadah itself or on one of its conditions? On the ibadah itself. The prohibition is clear about that we're not allowed to fast in the day of Eid. That's why if you fast, your ibadah is not accepted. And the ulama, they said, if you fast istihlalan, kafart. If you believe that it is halal to fast the day of Eid, and you know the prohibition of it, you actually denied the order of the Prophet ﷺ. You see here, صوم يوم العيد. وَمِنْهَا الصَّلَاةُ فِي أَوْقَاتِ النَّهِ. Also to pray in the times of the prohibition of salat. Even you are performing the ibadah is all of it as if it doesn't exist. طيب. Of course, you know the difference of opinion, أَوْقَاتِ الْأَسْبَابِ. I don't want to go into that. But just do not hang too much on the example. Just try to comprehend what he is trying to say. And also he said, we continue, وَإِنْ كَانَ عَائِدًا إِلَىٰ شَرْطِهَا فَإِنْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ يَخْتَصُّ بِهَا فَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا. He said, if the prohibition goes back on one of its conditions, the prerequisites, in a way that is specifically to that condition also, or specifically to that ibadah also, it is what? فَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا, also the ibadah becomes void. How is that? He said, مِنْهَا, he gave an example, الصَّلَاةُ بِالنَّجَاسَةِ, to pray with najasa. Knowingly, you're praying with najasa, the prohibition goes back where? To the ibadah itself. And here he said, by the way, a faqih cannot be faqih if he doesn't memorize and know this qawa'id faqhiyah. And it is not something you learn in the beginning, it's something you learn at the end. But it is no problem, as our mashayikh taught us, to insert some of them every here and there inside the explanation, so the mind of the student start to become more understanding of fiqh. And he continues, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَخْتَصُّ بِهَا فَفِي الصِّحَّةِ رِوَايَتَانْ أَشْهَرُهُمَا عَدَمُهَا. He said, if the prohibition came in a way that is not just specific about the ibadah itself, in its sihah, there is two riwayah. When he says riwayah, according to the Hanabila, what is it? Riwayah from whom? From Ahmad, rahimahullah, yani the Imam, Al-Imam Ahmad himself, there is two opinions. The most famous one, that it is not accepted, mean the ibadah is void. So the prohibition in this here goes back where? A condition that is specifically to the ibadah, or not specifically to the ibadah, not specifically to the ibadah. The most famous riwayah from the imam that is not, it is what? Not accepted. How is that? I'll explain. الوضوء بالماء المغصوب والصلاة في الثوب المغصوب والحرير. Just stick to the second one. الصلاة, to pray in a stolen thawb or silk. That's our point. How do we break it down? Here he said, the prohibition from the Sharia comes to do what? Not allowed to steal, and not allowed to wear silk if you are a man. True? So here the prohibition came for a condition of the Salat, or something not a condition of the Salat. It's not a condition of the Salat. He said there is two riwayah from the Imam himself, from Imam Ahmad. The most famous, well-known, that the Salat is what? Ibadah is void. We say here, the correct opinion, as we read what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, infikakul jiha. What is infikakul jiha? That the prohibition did not come on the condition itself. The prohibition came on not steal a thawb. You see? Now, since it does not come on the condition itself, and you have fulfilled the prerequisites, the conditions, then the ibadah is accepted. Have I made it clear? As for, and this is what I want you also to pay attention, because also this is important in the Hanbali madhab. He said, as an example, As-salatu fil buq'ati al-maghsubah, to pray in a buq'ah that is maghsubah, a spot that is stolen. Yani, you entered a hotel room intending that you're not going to pay the man. You said, yes, I will rent it for a week off you. And you have the intention that you're going to rip him off. You're going to run away after 1 week. That is maghsub or not? Maghsub. Pay attention how this differs from what we spoke about in the thawb that is stolen. He said, Ibn Rajab, أَنَّ الْبُقْعَةَ شَرْطٌ لِلصَّلَاةِ ولهذا لا تصح الصلاة في الأرجوحة ولا على بساط في الهواء. He said, if the buq'a is a condition of the salat, meaning if you intending by this that the salat is not correct except to pray on a stable ground, firm ground, then the salat becomes void, because that goes back on one of the conditions and the prerequisites of the salat. And based on this, the salat on a swing, they did not know about plane back then, on a swing or in flying carpet, then the salat is void. Of course, the ulama, they took that from the riwayat of Sulaiman in Surah Bisatul Rih. The flying carpet, he said, on urjuha, on the swing, can I pray on the swing? Or on Bisatul Rih, he said, then it's void because you're not stable on, you're not praying on stable ground. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah commented on this. He said, وَلَكِنَّ الطَّائِرَاتِ يَكُونُ فِيهَا الْإِسْتِقْرَارُ تَمَامًا فَالصَّلَاةُ فِيهَا صَحِيحًا وَلَا تَدْخُلُ فِي كَلَامِ الْمُؤَلِّفِ. Talking about the salat in the plane. So you don't go بِسَاطُ الرِّحْ like the plane. He said, no, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. He said, you cannot put the praying in the plane like this one. Why? Because he said, rahimahullah, he said, the plane is stable and does not enter this. While the swing and Bisat al-Rih is not stable. It's always constantly moving. But the plane, when you stand in the plane, you find it stable. You are stable unless there is turbulence, but you are stable. So he said, it does not enter this. Now, according to saying that this is a prerequisite, then you have to base on it that the salat in the swing and in Bisat al-Rih in the flying carpet is not allowed or acceptable. It becomes void. See, and here he said also in another way, he said that the movement of the one who is praying inside that stolen dar, that stolen house, itself is haram. فَالتَّحْرِيمُ عَائِدٌ إِلَى نَفْسِ الصَّلَاةِ. So the salat, the haram, the tahrim is going back to the salat itself, because those movements are haram inside the salat, which is because it is inside a stalling house. وَإِن كَانَ غَيْرُ مُخْتَصٍ بِهَا. Even if it is not specifically to it. The reality of the matter, the conclusion is, the majority of the ulama, they disregarded the buq'ah, that whether the spot is part of the salat, because there is no order about the buq'ah, about the place of salat. No order. So it does not make it from the prerequisites of salat. Where the Sharia came, as we will read later, the Sharia came to forbid us from praying in places, when we speak about najasa, and places of najasa, in filthy places, in toilets, and in graveyards, and so on. These came specific orders, but there is no specific order about this issue, al-urjuha or al-buq'a. So when the Sharia came to specify and exclude places of salat, which is the buq'a, it came because of different reasons, which is, this is not one of them. We'll speak about it, inshallah, next week or the following week. Here he said, وَإِنْ عَادَ إِلَى مَا لَيْسَ بِشَرْطٍ فِيهَا فَفِي الصَّحَّةِ وَجْهَانِ. Before I do this, we understand that praying in thawb that is maqsoob, or house that is maqsoob, is, the salat is correct, but you are sinning. Why? Because the prohibition does not go back on one of its prerequisites, or what we call them, shurut as-sihha. Here he said, the last part of the qa'idah, وَإِنْ عَادَ إِلَى مَا لَيْسَ بِشَرْطٍ فِيهَا فَفِي الصِّحَّةِ وَجْهَانِ وَاخْتَارَ أَبُو بَكْرَ عَضَمُ الصِّحَّةِ وَخَالَفَهُ الْأَكْثَرُونَ. And if it goes back to something that is not a condition of it, in its correctness, there is two wajah. We said al-wajah, opinion in the madhab. Remember in the first lesson we spoke about it. Al-riwayah is a statement from the imam of the madhab. Wajhan. So there is two opinions in the madhab. Abu Bakr al-Khalal, the great alim who collected the Hanbali madhab, Abu Bakr al-Khalal, rahimahullah, he said, it is incorrect. The act of ibadah is incorrect. And the majority opposed him. Like, al-wudu'u min al-ina'i al-muharram. To make wudu' with a prohibited utensil. Like golden or silver utensil, you made wudu' with it. This, the prohibition goes back on what? On the utensil that is used for the wudu'. So the prohibition here does not go back on one of its conditions, yani the condition of salat, which is the wudu', nor on the ibadah itself. So it does not go back on one of the conditions directly, like using filthy, najis water for wudu, nor it goes back on the ibadah itself. So inshallah, we understood this point. As long as you're expanding your understanding, that is the main thing of the fiqh, because masail al-fiqh are endless, ya akhwa. Masail al-fiqh will always remain endless, but the core of fiqh is understanding. That's why it's called fiqh. It's what called fiqh. Fiqh, it means linguistically correct understanding. Here he said, rahimahullah,
وَلِبْسُ الذَّهَبِ وَالْحَرِيرِ مُبَاحٌ لِلنِّسَاءِ دُونَ الرِّجَالِ إِلَّا عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الذَّهَبِ وَالْحَرِيرِ هَذَانِ حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِ حِلٌّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ.
Here he said, the translation, the wearing of gold and silk is allowed for women but not men, only when it is necessary. All right, now the translation here in your paper is incorrect. When there is a need. There's a difference. We have to be accurate in the translation. We have to differentiate between haja and darura. There is haja and there is darura. The difference between the two. And the translation is not accurate. So, when it is, here he said, illa inda al-haja. Type, what is the difference between haja and darura? Haja, you need it, but you're not going to die without it. Necessary, you need it to survive, to live. Like eating pork at the time of extreme hunger, if there is no food and you're going to die. That is called what? Darura. The wearing of gold and silk is allowed for women, but not men, only when there is a need. Because of the saying of the Prophet ﷺ concerning gold and silk, these two are haram upon the males in my ummah and halal for females, reported by Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. The wearing of gold and silk is haram for the men, allowed for women, except whom, if there is a need to wear it. طيب, what is the dalil for that? The Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, also the ijma' of the ummah, as been narrated by يعني النووي and others. The ijma' of the ummah about the prohibition. طيب, as for when it is allowed, the dalil for when it is allowed for need to wear gold, that عرفج رضي الله عنه in the hadith that is narrated by Imam Ahmad and others, he said his nose was hit in the days of, was cut off in the days of Jahiliyyah before Islam. فاتخذ أنفا من ورق. He put a nose from silver. فأنتن, started to rot. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered him to take a nose from what? Gold, so it doesn't rot. So this shows that it is allowed out of need to put a nose from gold or wear gold out of need. And also, as narrated by the Bukhari and Muslim, عن Anas ibn Malik, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhuma to wear silk when لِحَكَّ كَانَتْ بِهِمَا, because they were itchy. And then here, rahimahullah said, وَمَنْ صَلَّى مِنَ الرِّجَالِ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ بَعْضُهُ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ أَجْزَأَهُ ذَلِكَ. He said, whoever prays for the men in one thawb, some of it covering his shoulder, that is sufficient. What does it mean here? After we've spoken about the minimum that it need to be covered, now we have extra and preferred. What is the preferred here? To cover the atiq for a man. What is the atiq? The shoulders. To wear like a t-shirt. It saddens me when I see brothers at the beach standing wearing in the salat, wearing a towel around him. He's covering between the navel and the knee, and he doesn't put anything on his atiq. The matter, it is not as simple. The matter has difference of opinion. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari and Muslim says, لَا يُصَلِّيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الثَّوْبِ الْوَاحِدِ لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقَيْهِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Prophet ﷺ said, one of you should not pray in one thawb and there is nothing from it on his shoulders. The prohibition here necessitates that it is haram. But are all the ulama said it's haram? That's what I want to just quickly read for you what Al-Mardawi says in this issue within the Hanbali madhab. Here, very quickly, he said, قَوْلُهُ وَيُسْتَحَبُّ لِلْرَّجُلِ أَن يُصَلِّيَ فِي ثَوْبَيْنِ. And he's saying, يعني Al-Mardawi is commenting on the insaf. You know, I remind you again, since we're studying the Hanbali madhab, the Mardawi is one of the main ulama of the Hanbali madhab, rahimahullah. The Mardawi, he compiled one of the best books of the madhab, which compiled the differences of opinion within the madhab. So you can't be expert in the Hanbali madhab if you haven't read Al-Insaf lil-Mardawi. It's one of the best books written in the madhab to show you the opinions within the madhab, just as a reminder. He said, bila niza', there is no difference of opinion that it is preferred to wear, to cover the shoulders within the salat. Here he said, بَلْ ذَكَرَهُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِجْمَاعًا. He said, and some of them has narrated the consensus. لَكِنْ قَالَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنَ الْأَصْحَابِ. He said, but a group of people from our companions, يعني the حنابلة مع ستر رأسه والإمام أبلغ. He said, also to cover the head, يعني to wear a cap, and for the Imam is more deserving. يعني the Imam more deserving to stand covering his shoulders and wearing a cap on his head. That is, hear what he said. For the brothers who say, oh, there is no dalil. Yes, there is no dalil, but out of mannerism. And that's, of course, he said, جَمَاعَ مِنَ الْأَصْحَابِ. قَوْلُهُ فَأَنْ اِقْتَصَرَ عَلَىٰ سَتْرِ الْعَوْرَةِ أَجْزَأَهُ وَإِنْ إِذَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْلِبَاسِ. He said, if he restrict himself to cover the awrah, that will be sufficient if there is part of it on his shoulder. He said, here, this is the point. As-sahihu min al-madhab, the authentic, the correct opinion from the madhab, anna satra al-mankibayni fi al-jama'ati shartun fi sihhati salati al-fard alayhi jamaahiru al-ashab. He said, the correct opinion within the madhab that covering the shoulders in the jama'ah is a condition of the correction of salat, and upon this, the majority of our ashab, يعني the حنابلة, وقطع به الكثير منهم, and the majority of them قطع به. They said this is the correct opinion. As you see, majority they said it is what شرط صحة of salat way in the salat الجماعة. And the majority of the Hanabila on this. وَأَمَّا فِي النَّفْلِ. As for the supererogatory or the extra salat, فَقَدَّمَ الْمُصَنِّفِ, the author of يعني, the book that he's commenting on, the Mardawi, rahimahullah, أَنَّهُ لَا تُجِزِئُهُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ اللِّبَاسِ فَهُوَ كَالْفَرْضِ. So they distinguish between the fard and the sunnah. He said that the author of this book, the Mardawi commenting on, he said it is not suffice for him not to cover something from his shoulders. It is exactly like the fard. Now, we understand from this, this is how important is the matter of covering the shoulders. And here, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, in Al-Umda, he did not distinguish between obligatory or nafil. He said it is a preferred to cover one shoulder in the salat. Because if he believed that it is not preferred, he would have added it where? Back then when he spoke about the minimum of awra. يعني as I said, جمهور أهل العلم, the majority say it is mustahab and it is not wajib.
Why? Because combination of the hadith, what Jabir alayhi radiallahu anhu prayed in a thawb قد اشتمل به. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إذا كان واسعا فخالف بين طرفي. If it was wide, big, so make it loose between the two ends of it. وإذا كان ضيقا فاشدد على حقوك. What is الحقو? He said, if it was tight, if it was small, tighten it around the حقو. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him to cover with it, if it is small thawb, the waist. If it is obligatory to cover, then he has to cover what? Then he cover the shoulders and the waist. So from this combination of the adilla, we believe it is mustahab. To stick to the Hanbali madhab, it is highly recommended. And in the jama'ah becomes more deservant. The dalil, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ masjid. Take your adornment in every masjid. So don't come to the jama'ah and stand in the jama'ah, in the salat, in the obligatory salat, without covering your shoulders. And also we need to remember, there are more restrictions on the obligatory salat than there is on nafil salat. So it becomes more deserving to cover the shoulders in the obligatory salat. So it's very, very important to know that if you're praying obligatory salat or you're praying in jama'ah, you need to cover your shoulders with something. Here, now the Shaykh, he is suggesting some issues about someone who, yani after he settled the principle was to cover the awra, which is the minimum we mentioned. Then we said, preferred for a man to cover his shoulders. Now we come to an issue that, as the fiqh mind works, first the most important, then the preferred, then if there is some exceptions. The exception comes. He said, فَإِن لَمْ يَجِدْ إِلَّا مَا يَسْتُرُ بِهِ عَوْرَتَهُ سَتَرَهَا. Whoever finds only that which covers his awra, he is to cover it. طيب. So if you only find something to cover your awra with it, then you cover your awra with it. And you leave the shoulders up here, there is no problem because of hadith of Jabir that we mentioned. So you stick to covering the awrah. Of course, today we cannot imagine that. But you can imagine what I'm going to read if someone taken to jail, wal-iyadu billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the release of our brothers. Naam. So if someone taken to jail, sometimes you could be taken to jail or taken to a hospital, and they put the operation robe on you. So these issues, it's not totally something that you could not fall into, or a Muslim cannot fall into. It would sound strange what I'm going to read, but it is not really strange, because now you're living an easy life. You don't know, you could be in those situations. You could be... فَإِن لَمْ يَكْفِي جَمِيعَهَا سَتَرَى الْفَرْجَيْنِ. Here he said that if it is not enough to cover all of the awra, he is to cover the private parts. So, now you do not have enough. You cover what? Your private parts only. You have a little towel. That's all what you have. What do? You cover the awra. طيب, what is the dalil? The dalil is a general golden rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. That's what you have and that's what you do. فَإِن لَمْ يَكْفِهِمَا سَتَرَى أَحَدَهُمَا. Here he said, if he doesn't have enough to cover both, he covers one. So if you don't have enough, you cover where? One. طيب, you cover one of them. And then he said, فَإِنْ عَدِمَا بكل حال صلى جالسا يومئ بالركوع والسجود وإن صلى قائما جاز. He said, if he has nothing to cover himself, he should pray sitting, singling, for bowing and prostrating. If he prays standing, it is allowed. This matter is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Why? Because here there are two things competing. Al-qiyam, inna salat wa qumu lillahi qanitin, and stand up to Allah in the salat. To stand up in the salat is a
a pillar of the salat to be in a standing position. But at the same time, if you stand, the awrah would appear. You have nothing to cover with. What do? Some ulama said, you sit and pray. Why they said this? They said, so your awrah doesn't appear. At least when you're sitting, your awrah is covered. Some ulama said, no, the person need to stand up because it's a pillar from the salat. And the other ulama said, yeah, but his awrah now is showing. Some ulama said that if there is no one in the room to see his awrah, he then need to stand up. And so on, the debate. Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he said, both are correct. You do your ijtihad. You see what you need to do, and you do it. طيب. Here he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ إِلَّا ثَوْبًا نَجِسًا أَوْ مَكَانًا نَجِسًا صَلَّى فِيهِمَا وَلَا إِعَادَةَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, whoever finds only an impure thawb or unclean place to pray, he should pray. There is no need to repeat the prayer. So, if you find nothing except a najis thawb, or a place, you're najis. Let's say, you're surrounded in one place, and this place is najis, and you have to pray. What do you do? Khalas. You pray. Do you have to repeat the salat? Some brothers get pious. Oh, we have to repeat. No. There's no repeat. Khalas. You prayed the salat. The salat is over. Same thing if you prayed naked for necessity. Yani you have nothing. As we qaddamna, as we have explained, then what you do? Do you have to repeat the salat? You go home? No, you don't have to repeat the salat. Tayyib, you do not khalas the salat. Once you prayed it, it's gone. You don't repeat the salat for that. Of course, all of this is based on ijtihad. Based on ijtihad. And he does not have to repeat because he's not mufarrit. Yani, always remember, you have to try the best of your ability. If you tried the best of your ability, then khalas. It is done and you've done what you need to do. What is the dalil? The golden rule. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.